Blog Talk Radio.
Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hit 'em high, hit 'em high, hit 'em high. Can you hit 'em low, hit 'em low, hit 'em low?
Going right to the hole. You ain't got no game. I'm breaking you out the frame, coming through like a train. Looking to take over the whole world is my goal. With my unstoppable crew taking all control. You can't get none of this. We're running this. Well, take up, earth shaker, 3-point gun in this. Get off the lane, I'm coming through. And if you don't wanna move, I'm coming right through you.
It's like inch by inch and step by step, I'm closing in on your position, and destruction is my mission. No, 8 is not enough, your whole squad better duck. It's like Swiss when I bust, now your whole crew is dust. Coming through my area, I'ma have to bury you. The real scream team on your screen scene. It's like showdown under Rango. Tell me who wanna tangle with the ghetto witch doctor, neighborhood superhero.
Came to bring the ultimate pain upon the brain, untamed. You won't like it when I change into a type strange. Make low maniacal, monster in the game. And I got my eye on you, dead shot aim. As free throws keep coming down like rain. You feeling me, I'm feeling you, the monster gang. I'm telling you, pass me the rock, now I'm headed to the basket. Get up out my way is what you better do. My tactics is unsportsmanlike conduct, you better ask it. Don't get no better than this. You catch my drift, you get stripped by ball handlers, ruled by swag hammer. Danger, you dealing with official hoop bangers. With hang time, like a coat hanger. Jump with thunderous 360 degree tight dunks. What up, Doc? The monster funk.
Lightning strikes, the court lights get dim. Supreme competition is about to begin. Above the rim, finessing it, moves is animated. Once I get the ball in, I can't be deflated. A rugged part, my monsters is getting money. With clicks, get the bugging, I'm snatching up their bunnies. Every step I take, shakes the ground. I make you break your ankle, son, shake you down. This is my planet, about business, the best that ever done it. Can I get a witness? A cumulus cloud brings darkness up above. You in it for the money or in it for the love, MJ? 23 ways to make a pay. Lounging in the mothership back around my way. A 28 light years old. If the rep get political, dribble like Bob Dole. Am I getting lyrical? Daddy, I think so. Monster, top of flavor, fluid, so clean.
Blowing it on.
And this is a rare. Rarely will I do my show this early in the morning.
considering my busy schedule, considering how I haven't been on here much lately these past few weeks, I had to do this, and I'm honored to be able to do this show with you today. I didn't get a chance to talk about this last night because there was so much to cover, but basically, I had a lot going on within the month of August as far as doing the stage play Soul Custody. It was a great turnout, getting a chance to play the Lord and Savior. Our Lord and Savior was a wonderful accomplishment, and I really enjoyed every second of it. It was beautiful. And I still got some stuff coming up, so continue to be on the lookout. You hear Rocky say get ready for a power trip. There's a reason for that, so think about that. Now, continuing on with the with week one's games, today we wanted to talk more and cover more on the late afternoon games that took place. One of those games was 49ers and Cowboys. Tony Romo, you have really nothing to be happy about. Three interceptions in the first half. DeMarco Murray fumbling on Dallas' first possession, which resulted in a 49ers touchdown. And that's not something that you wanted to see. That's not something that you really wanted to go down if you're the Cowboys. First of all, the defense has already been banged up. The last thing you needed was offensive mistakes. But that's what happened. So, despite that, the 49ers jumped out to a quick lead. They really took care of business. And I felt like at the end, the Cowboys had some chances to really get back into the game, and they didn't. It just didn't happen. Now, despite that, they competed well. DeMarco Murray, after that fumble, he played well the rest of the way. But still, it's not something that you want to see happen. If you're the Cowboys, you don't want to get off to a bad start, turning the ball over and making those kind of mistakes against anybody. Because it's hard to bounce back from that. Three interceptions in one half, it's not going to get done. It's just not going to get it done. They were down 28-3 at halftime. You would have thought the game was over, and technically it was. They did score a touchdown in the third quarter, and they did score another touchdown in the fourth quarter, but this game was pretty much over. And the fact that San Francisco protected the ball, they didn't get a lot of first downs like Dallas did, but it didn't really matter. They were basically running the clock out, and they were just trying to get out of town, get back to San Francisco, and get ready for Chicago next Sunday night. That's what they really wanted. That was their main focus. Now, Dallas' first possession started out with DeMarco Murray with the 2-yard gain before fumbling. Chris Culliver recovered the fumble, returned to 35 yards, which allowed San Francisco to really jump out early, and they did. They did that, and after that, Dallas was just basically trying to play catch-up for the most part. Vernon Davis caught 2 touchdown passes from Colin Kaepernick in that first quarter. One of those, the first one, the 29-yarder, was amazing. It was an amazing touchdown. Colin Kaepernick able to escape defenders, to avoid a sack, threw it to the end zone. Vernon Davis was right there. It was right there. DeMarco Murray did get that touchdown run out in the third quarter to make up for that fumble, which set the tone for pretty much how this game was going to play out. He finished the game with 22 carries for 118 yards and a score. Kaepernick played well, going 16 to 20, 201 yards and 2 touchdowns. Ray McDonald, despite his off-field issues, he played in this game, which is viewed as controversial to a lot of people, including yours truly. I thought it was kind of controversial. He finished the game with 3 solo tackles. San Francisco recorded 3 sacks in this game, 2 of them by Justin Smith and 1 by Ahmad Brooks. He also forced 3 interceptions. Eric Reed, Parrish Cox, and Patrick Willis each had an interception. Dallas really, they only forced 1 sack by Bruce Carter. They didn't force any turnovers. Des Bryant actually
Terrence Williams had 4 catches, 50 yards, and a touchdown in Dallas. She caught the final score in that game in the fourth quarter, but the game was pretty much out of reach at that point. So San Francisco wins, Dallas loses. Now, the other game that took place at 4:25 p.m. Went down between the Panthers and what looked to be the hapless Bucks. Carolina won the game 20-14 in a game where Cam Newton did not start or play because of those ribs that he suffered in the preseason game against the Patriots a few weeks back. Derek Anderson, backup quarterback, came in. I would have gave Derek Anderson the comeback player of the year award after just one game and one start. He came in, played well. Carolina jumped out to a 10-0 lead at halftime. Derek Anderson actually finished the game with 2 touchdown passes. He actually went 24-30 and 2 touchdowns. And he protected the ball. Only sacked one time. Josh McCown, on the other hand, he threw 2 touchdown passes, but he also threw 2 picks, was sacked 3 times, only threw for 183 yards. And I don't think Tampa Bay really established an offensive attack. Jabarski Lane ran for 54 yards, and he only had just 1 pick. Doug Martin had 9 carries for 9 yards. Josh McCown was the second leading rusher with 3 carries for 27 yards. And Bobby Rainey had 4 carries for 12 yards and fumble. Not great numbers individually, but the fact that Tampa Bay was able to, overall as a team, they ran for 102 yards. But that's not great if you just look at the individual numbers. And when Doug Martin is supposed to be your leading rusher, you see him put up those numbers, that's not really going to get it done. It's just not going to get it done. Kelvin Benjamin, though, looks like he's going to be a serviceable piece on that receiving corps, something that the Panthers have desperately needed throughout the entire offseason. He caught 6 catches for 92 yards and scored in this game. Greg Olsen caught the other score, 8 catches for 83 yards that he finished with. Eric Okotchukwu, who comes over as a free agent, 4 catches, 32 yards. This is a new-look Carolina receiving corps for the most part. With Steve Smith no longer being there, they don't have Ted Ginn Jr. no longer there either. So they're looking for something. They're looking for something to happen. And if Kelvin Benjamin lives up to his potential, then Cam Newton might have found a new offensive weapon for the future. And he's really needed that, even with Steve Smith being here. He really needed that go-to guy, and he really hasn't always had that. So it's good to see Kelvin Benjamin get off to a start like this and have the numbers that he had. For Tampa Bay, on the other hand, their leading receiver was Brandon Myers, who caught 6 passes for 41 yards. Rookie standout Mike Evans, coming over from Texas A&M, caught just 5 passes for 37 yards. Bobby Rainey caught 2 passes for 8 yards and a score. And Chris Owusu caught 2 passes for 20 yards in a score. But for the most part, the Panthers' defense, they did what they do best. They got to the quarterback. They got pressure on the quarterback. They forced turnovers. They did what they did those final 10 to 12 games last season. They went out there and they did what they were supposed to do. Despite that, Greg Hardy, with his off-the-field issues, he played in Sunday's game. And based off the transcripts from the information that I had studied over as far as what was being reported on ESPN and the NFL Network, guy was found guilty striking his ex-girlfriend or then-girlfriend at the time, and he played, unfortunately. He actually had one of Carolina's 3 sacks in the game. Dwan Edwards had one. Luke Cluckley had one. He had the other. Roman Harper and Antoine Kaysen each had an interception each. But, yeah, Greg Hardy did play in this game. He finished with 3 tackles and a sack. He actually had 4 total tackles and a sack. So he played. He led Carolina in sacks last season. He's making $13.4 million. You have to wonder what's going to happen with his situation. And I wonder, should he even be playing, period? That's the question. But despite that, he played, contributed on Carolina's defense. They want to know. They got a showdown with Detroit next weekend. I can't wait for that game. What I'm going to do is I'm going to be making predictions. And I might just do it at the end of this show. I might just go ahead and do it instead of doing another podcast. I might just go ahead and just make some quick predictions at the end of the show. Tampa Bay, on the other hand, they're 0-1, and they're hosting an 0-1 St. Louis team that's got its own issues, or worse, next week. The Sunday night game was the game I was really looking forward to the most, because you had Denver, Peyton Manning going up against his former team, Indianapolis, the team that was the first team to beat the Broncos last season in a game that took place on Sunday night at the RCA Dome. Broncos were undefeated. They strolled into Indianapolis. Robert Mathis, who's now out for the season with a torn ACL, he was already suspended for the first four games of the season for substance abuse policy. But he was a big part of Indy's success and in that win over Denver last year. He wasn't there Sunday night, unfortunately. They could have certainly used him. Denver jumped out to a quick lead going into the half on Sunday night. And that offense in that first half looked like the Denver offense we saw throughout much of last year in the regular season. They were up 24-7 at halftime. Three touchdowns in the second quarter by Peyton Manning. And all three were to Julius Thomas. 3 yards, 35 yards, and 5 yards. Again, Julius Thomas got off to a quick start last year in that opening game against Baltimore. And he's pretty much looking like the same so far this year. Now, after that, you almost saw Indy start to mount a comeback, much like they did against Kansas City in that playoff game last year. In the fourth quarter, Andrew Luck had a couple touchdown passes, one to Dwayne Allen, the other to Hakeem Nicks. Monty Ball, though, had a three-yard touchdown run to set up the first score in the fourth quarter with about 10 minutes left to put Denver back up by three scores again. They held on to win, and that defense down the stretch, they made the stops when they needed to. That was the most important thing when you think about some of the new acquisitions that they made during the offseason. They did what they set out to do. Now, there were some turnovers in this game. There were a handful of penalties from both teams that kind of lets you scratch your head a little bit. But, you know, first game, Jenner, sometimes these things happen. Now, Andrew Luck threw 53 passes in this game, completed 35 from through for 370, touchdowns, two picks, three sacks. Peyton Manning threw three touchdowns. He didn't turn the ball over. He was only sacked once in the game. He only threw for 269. But he's Peyton Manning. He's Peyton Manning. That's the thing. The Colts were never able to establish a run, the run game. Actually, Trent Richardson led the team with just six carries of 20 yards. The longest run for scrimmage was 9 yards by Andrew Luck and 9 yards by Mark Bradshaw. He only ran for 15 yards. Luck only ran for 19. So that was the thing. That was another issue for Denver last year in defense, the inability to stop the run at times. They did that on Sunday night. But the Colts, their team, they just don't try to really run the football. That's going to be a problem going forward when you're relying on Andrew Luck having to throw so many passes. That's not going to get it done. Now, Monte Ball, who's now the starting running back in place of Knowshon Moreno, who left for free agency to Miami, he ran for 67 yards, had a touchdown. C.J. Anderson, 4 carries and 24 yards as the backup. But I think Monte Ball has a chance to really establish himself as a full-time starter at the running back spot. I'm not saying that he has Knowshon Moreno's explosiveness, but I think he might be more suited for Denver's offense. We'll see. We'll see how that carries out this season. Now, Emmanuel Sanders came in to be Eric Decker's replacement. He looked good on Sunday. 6 catches, 77 yards. He did what he was supposed to do. Julius Thomas, like I said, caught 3 scores. Finished the game with 7 catches for 104 yards. Demaryius Thomas, 4 catches for 48 yards. Had a quiet night. Wes Welker suspended for the first 4 games of the season, so he was not available for Denver. As for Indy, Reggie Wayne, 9 catches for 98 yards. Ahmad Bradshaw caught for 70 yards, 5 catches. Dwayne Allen, 4 catches, 64 yards and a touchdown. T.Y. Hilton, who was a big part of Indy's success in that playoff game last year against Kansas City, he caught 5 passes for 41 yards. And Hakeem Nicks caught 5 for 36 in the score. You're probably going to see those type of numbers for the Colts offense this year because they're going to be throwing the ball a lot. They're not going to really try to run the football. And to me, that's going to be an issue. That's going to be a serious issue. And until they do that, this is only going to be a one-dimensional offense, and that's going to keep them from reaching their full potential. That's the way I look at it. Now, as far as the Denver defense is concerned, like I said, DeMarcus Ware, his first official game as Bronco, 2 tackles, 1.5 sacks. Nate Irving also had a sack. Malik Jackson had a half a sack in his game himself. Aqib Talib, 4 tackles, 3 passes defended. He looked phenomenal. Raheem Moore had those 2 interceptions for Denver. One of them was a tremendous interception play. Keeping the ball alive, it was awesome to see that. And as a Denver fan, it was nice to see this defense step up and play better. They looked better in this one game than they did the entire season last year. And that's saying something going forward. Now, they got a divisional showdown with Kansas City next week, a depleted Kansas City team that's kind of in disarray considering how bad their offensive line is looking. Denver can easily go up 2-0. 2-0, they can easily go 2-0. Now, moving on to the Monday night games, another game I was really looking forward to, my hometown team, the Lions, against the Giants. They looked phenomenal. They left some points out there on the field, I will say. They left some points out there, but they won the game 35-14. They scored on their first 2 drives, and Megatron was responsible for both of them. The first drive, wide freaking open for 67 yards. It was a defensive breakdown in the Giants secondary. It was a beautiful play because it was 3rd and 9. Stafford looked like he was going to be sacked, faked out his defender, kind of juked him out a little bit, kept the play alive, threw the ball downfield. Calvin Johnson wide open. Wide open. On the next possession, they marched down the field. Calvin Johnson again, and the pass catch was even more beautiful. The way he caught the ball, diving in the end zone, keeping the ball from touching the ground, it was beautiful. It was really beautiful. Now, the Giants did respond in the second quarter with Larry Donald catching a 1-yard gain. They actually converted on 4th down to go within 14-7. That's as close as they got the rest of the night. 3rd quarter, Nate Freeze kicked a pair of field goals. After missing one, he kicked a pair of 28 and 27 yards. And then Matthew Stafford with a beautiful 5-yard touchdown run, running into one of the Giants defenders in the end zone. It was beautiful how he was able to do that. Swagger and everything. I don't even use the word swagger, but he showed some toughness on that play. That's the one thing I've never questioned about him was his toughness. This guy is a tough guy. Always been a tough guy. 4th quarter, Rashad Jennings had a 1-yard touchdown run for the Giants, but again, they didn't get close at all. Drake Bell responded with a 3-yard touchdown run. 2-point conversion completed. Game's over. Stafford finished the game going 22 of 32 for 346 and 2 scores. He also had that touchdown run. The running game for Detroit, though, was a little bit of a question mark. Drake Bell did have 15 carries, 51 yards, and a touchdown. Reggie Bush has 9 carries for 15 yards. Giants still got a good solid defensive line. I'll give them that. Calvin Johnson, though, despite that, 7 catches, 164 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Golden Tate, his first official game with Detroit, 6 catches, 93 yards. Eric Ebron, he had a couple drop passes, but he'll get inserted into the lineup. He'll get inserted, and he will make more plays down the stretch. His first game, I wasn't expecting him to be much of a factor right away, but he will do some things down the stretch. Reggie Bush caught six passes, 49 yards in the game. Joseph Fourier caught a beautiful 26-yard pass. Pettigrew caught one for 9 yards. They're going to do some things, this offense. This is just the beginning. By far, it's just the beginning. As far as the defense is concerned, the Giants was able to get a sack. Robert Ayers, he did get a sack. Dominic Rogers-Cromartie having to keep up with Calvin Johnson. He did have a couple passes defended. Prince Amon Kamara, same thing, a couple passes defended. But the Detroit defense really stepped up and did their thing. George Johnson, who had a phenomenal preseason, had three tackles and 1.5 sacks. Ziggy Ansah, he had the other half sack. DeAndre Levy had a beautiful interception. You had to have seen the play to really, really watch it. It was beautiful. Glover Crane had a beautiful interception where he stepped in front of the receiver for the Giants and just picked off the pass. Eli Manning struggled. He struggled terribly on Monday night. 18 to 33, just 163. Threw one touchdown, but two interceptions, two sacks, and there was a lot of immense pressure on him throughout much of the night. That Detroit defense is getting after that depleted Giants offensive line. And now Detroit's 1-0. Showdown with Carolina next week. The Giants, they're 0-1, and they're hosting Arizona, the other victorious team on Monday night. They beat the Chargers in a comeback, 18-17, in a game in which I thought personally the Chargers really had the game wrapped up. The game was under the bag. Cardinals scored 12 points in the fourth quarter. Two touchdown passes by Carson Palmer. One to Stephon Taylor for 5 yards, and the other to John Brown, who looks like he's going to do some things, 13 yards. They did fail the two-point conversion attempt, but they held on to win the game. Phillip Rivers only threw for 238 yards, threw a touchdown, threw a pick. Palmer, though, was sacked twice, but he did throw two interceptions. He also lost a fumble, but he did throw for 304 yards. He looked like the Carson Palmer of Cincinnati. He did in this game. He really looked sharp at times. Ryan Matthews, just 12 carries for 40 yards and a touchdown. Andre Ellington led Arizona 13 carries for 53 yards. He had a fumble. But neither team really, really established the running game much, especially San Diego. Ryan Matthews only running for just 40 yards. That Arizona defense, despite the losses, despite the players, some of the players not being there, they're big-name players. They did well. Michael Floyd caught 5 passes for 119 yards. And they did this by really spreading the ball around. Ted Ginn Jr. coming over from Carolina, 2 catches, 29 yards. John Brown, 2 catches, 29 yards in the score. Ellington, 5 catches, 27 yards. Larry Fitzgerald only caught just 1 pass for 22 yards. He was targeted 4 times that night. Stephon Taylor, 3 catches for 21 yards in the score. And Antonio Gates led San Diego with 6 catches for 81 yards. And the defense is, for the most part, played well. But Arizona hang on to win this game. They got a good matchup with the Giants next week. I'm just going to go ahead and make my quick predictions. This Thursday night, tomorrow night, I got Pittsburgh beating Baltimore. Baltimore is complete disarray right now. As far as the 1 o'clock games are concerned, I'm going to take my team, Detroit, to beat Carolina. I think Washington will bounce back against Jacksonville, but I won't be surprised if they lose. I got New Orleans beating Cleveland. That should be a high-scoring game, really. I got Cincinnati beating Atlanta. I'll take Buffalo at home over Miami. I'll take Arizona to beat the Giants. I'll take Tennessee to beat Dallas. I got New England over Minnesota. Tampa Bay over St. Louis. I like Seattle over San Diego, but that's an upset alert right there. I like Green Bay to bounce back against the Jets. Denver to go all over Kansas City. Oakland, I like them against Houston. I'll take them to beat the Texans. San Francisco, I got them over Chicago next Sunday night. And the Monday night game, I will take Indianapolis over Philadelphia. Good luck the rest of the way. In week 2, may the better teams win. This is Rocket signing off. Thank you all for tuning in. Get ready for a power trip. See you next time.